Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something really exciting, how a ministry called CityServe has been able to help over 50 million people with 13 million boxes of food. And the amazing thing to me, as you'll find out when we talk to Dave Donaldson, one of the founders, is that they did it through the government. They have this program called Farmers to Families that is distributing food that would be plowed under if it wasn't for this program. And through a set of amazing circumstances, or maybe you can call them miracles, the government is doing it with a faith-based organization. This is actually a group that my local congregation is involved in, and I'm just so excited to be able to feature it on my podcast. So stay tuned to find out the exciting things that are happening with the Farmers to Family program that is coming through CityServe and churches all over the country. In fact, your church may want to be involved. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm so glad to be able to welcome Dave Donaldson, who actually has a podcast called Influencers on Charisma Podcast Network, and known him and his family and his brother and Convoy of Hope that we've written about and featured in so many ways, and now he has gotten involved with this new ministry that's really very different than Convoy of Hope. And with him in the studio are a couple of the men who helped him found this amazing ministry. So welcome to all of you. And I'm going to start with you, Dave, and just ask you how CityServe was able to get involved with this big government program called Farmers to Family. Maybe I should even ask a preliminary question of, you know, the government's actually, I guess, trying to help people out during COVID, but tell us how it started and why, and how this food is getting to families instead of being plowed under.
Well, first of all, great to be with you, Steve, and so grateful for you and Charisma over the years, your support of my brothers and I, Convoy of Hope. And honor to be with you today and to bring some of my colleagues that are participating in CityServe and Farmers to Families. But because of the pandemic, 50 million people are food insecure. That's one of the challenges. The second is, as you mentioned, farmers, because they were not able to provide their produce to restaurants, cruise ships, hotels, and the rest. We're plowing their produce, their product, back into the ground. Dairy products were rotting. Meat was being destroyed. And so through really the brainchild of Ivanka Trump and USDA, they created this Farmers to Families. And we had developed something called CityServe, where we have pods and hubs. Now, hubs are warehouses, small warehouses, and then they facilitate pods, points of distribution, and those are pretty much thousands of churches across America. And so through a mutual friend of ours, Paula White Kane, she connected us to Ivanka Trump. Ivanka called Wendell Benson and me and shared about this program, and she said, at present, the faith-based community is not involved in this program. But we realize if we're going to reach the last mile of need, we've got to engage the local church. And so with her admonition and inspiration, we decided to create a faith-based collaboration for Farmers to Families. And as we sit here now, over 14 million of these food boxes have been distributed through the local church to literally millions of people. And we call it also Beyond the Box. We've been able to pray literally with millions of people and hear their stories and how they've struggled through this pandemic.
Well, I'm going to drill down a little bit in a minute, but, you know, there's so much in the news about separation of church and state, in my opinion, almost a hostility, and government money always comes with strings, and also that churches seem to be overlooked. So here you are, a relatively new ministry, only a few years old, and then all of a sudden, you've got 13 million boxes of food that you're distributing, $420 million in 1 year. I mean, I know enough about organizations and growth and logistics to know that it's very hard to take care of something like that. How did you do it?
Well, first of all, I've been working with state and federal government, you know, for more than two decades, and I learned a long time ago there's no such thing as separation of church and state if the state needs what you have. And fact is, we have the reach through the local church to every county in America, whether it be urban, rural, or tribal nations. And so we have mobilized that network. And let me just say, we're getting started. This program is going to continue. And we're believing that potentially tens of millions of people are going to be helped, and they're going to receive really a message of hope as well. I have with me, as I mentioned, Steve, co-founders of CityServe, Wendell Vinson, who really modeled the CityServe model in farmers to families in Southern California, and then Darren DeLon, who is one of the founders of ARC, the Association of Related Churches, and also is the executive pastor of New Life Church in Arkansas, one of the largest and most thriving churches in America. And these two gentlemen have been on the front lines of making sure these boxes get to the last mile of need. And so I know they would love to address those questions too.
I'm interested in how this works because my own church is involved. In fact, they showed a video of it, you know, of it happening. Obviously, I haven't been involved yet, but it's a relatively new thing, and I intend to get involved because I think it's so important. So describe what a church does, what's in the boxes. I want to find out all the details. I think my listeners are interested because it's not just a little box. At least the video it showed is a fairly good-sized box with a whole bunch of stuff in it. So go ahead and just explain how that works.
Well, it's a 30-pound or about box of food, both dairy, protein of some sort, and produce. And that box is distributed through the local church. As Dave was mentioning, and you asked the question, how does it happen that the faith community can link up? Times of global emergencies like the pandemic really provide a unique opportunity because the challenge was too big for the government to respond to. If you think about in America, the largest food bank system in America is only 200 food banks across the entire nation, serving the entire nation. You have over 330,000 churches in every neighborhood across America. There's no competition when you think about it. And if the need was so huge that the government had to scale up to respond to that need, it was going to have to really work with churches. And there are local churches in every neighborhood. There are, you think about it, it is God's infrastructure, the local church, really for the healing of the nation. And so they were going to have to find a different a stream. 200 food banks couldn't make it happen alone. The faith community in this time of crisis really, they leaned in and they said, we're going to serve and we want to make a meaningful difference in our communities. While many churches across the nation were shut down, they were serving. Even though they couldn't gather in some parts of the country for services, they were serving their community throughout this pandemic in a remarkable way. I would say that the faith community has been mobilized to a larger extent during this pandemic to serve their community and lean into the brokenness of their community probably than any other time in the history of our nation. And this is one of the most amazing untold stories of our day, how the church has responded across the nation. You see the churches of cross-denominationally working together unlike any other time in history. So churches receive, all of this is delivered through the church. Churches receive, these boxes of produce. They not only serve their neighborhood by distributing those, they take those boxes into that last mile of need where people lack mobility or ability to get to the churches or to get to any other institution to receive a food box because maybe their age, maybe their lack of mobility. The church gets to know their neighbor, serves their neighbor, builds a relationship with their neighbor so that it can be long-term, way beyond just that box. There have been more people prayed with, more people have come to faith in Jesus Christ, more people have built a relationship with the church during this season, in the middle of what we would all say, this is a tragic time. God has used this for His glory, and it's an amazing thing.
Well, it is amazing, and you know, I'm very concerned about the cancel culture in our country, where there are people who would just like to cancel Christianity entirely, like just go away, you know, we'll get along without you. And so of course, it's fairly new, and people are being helped, and there's a lot of desperation, but I'm almost waiting for the other shoe to fall. You know, at some point they're going to come in and say, oh, these people are praying with people to get saved. How horrible that somebody would get saved and become a religious fanatic. So has this not been an issue at all? Maybe I'm concerned about something I shouldn't be concerned about.
Well, you know, when people ask for prayer, we don't force prayer on anyone, or we don't tell them we have to pray for you to receive a box. When people ask for prayer or ask for counsel or ask for encouragement, any institution like the government would be hard-pressed, I think, to say, no, you can't talk to people or pray with people that are requesting it. So it's done in we coach churches to do it in a way that both protects them but also protects the USDA and the government and all of that. So it's done in an appropriate way, but there's great freedom to do that. And so we've been blessed. I think this emergency, this crisis has given opportunity for that because there's been a desperation level that's caused people to say, you know what, we need to get people fed. And if the church can help us do that, let's engage them.
Okay, this 30-pound box, which is about as heavy as a lot of people can pick up. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's pretty heavy. How much, if you went down to the grocery store and bought that stuff, how much would that be worth at retail, approximately?
Probably about $80, approximately $80, if you were buying it at retail.
And would that last a week?
Last a week for family of four.
For a family of four? Mm-hmm. And would the same family of four come back, or is it different families every week, or do you know?
Some families do come back. I mean, as you know, this pandemic has caused tremendous need as it relates to unemployment, people needing work, needing income. So we have seen, what's been interesting is to see the people coming through these food lines that probably never before in American history have had to do that. So, you know, the need has reached a level of people that this is their first time experience in terms of coming asking for help. That's been the stunning thing. Darren?
But to me, getting food is different than just being on welfare or,
absolutely,
you know, paying the rent or things like that. They're, you know, there's different ways to look at that kind of thing. But I mean, everyone needs to eat, and almost no one would begrudge somebody that. And so I think it's great that you're doing this and the government's doing it. Will it continue after COVID? Hopefully this dread virus is going to be a thing of the past at some point.
Well, the food insecurity at this level, they're expecting that to last until this time next year.
Wow.
And so we are hoping that farmers to families, one way or another, will continue at least that long. The SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Program, chances are that's going to be expanded by about 15%. But again, this is the only program, Steve, that is providing fresh fruits and vegetables to families across our country. And as even the new Secretary Vilsack of USDA commented last week, he loves this program because it's reaching some of the hardest to reach areas, the rural areas, tribal nations, the Rio Grande Valley. We're literally right now distributing millions of boxes along the Rio Grande. And so this program, it is unique. And I'll tell you what's exciting to me is that there is a movement that is moving faster It's much bigger, it's greater, and it's this movement of kindness and compassion, and it's being led by the local church. And it's bringing hope and help. And, you know, like Wendell has said, you know, many of our churches, they've become weekend productions, and they've lost their compassion muscle. Well, this is getting them back on the treadmill, and they're reaching
out.
That's
a good way to say it.
And so when you see these car lines, you know, on the news, it's a heartbreaker. But the good news is that we have people that are trained, that are going up and down these cars while they're waiting, and we're hearing their stories. And as Wendell mentioned, nobody is forced to pray, and they don't need to pray to get the boxes, but we're there to listen. And in that context, we're able to encourage and to pray with them. And I got to tell you, I've been doing this type of ministry around the world for over 30 years. This is one of the greatest movements of compassion and hope I have ever seen. It's unbelievable. And Darren, who is our leader there in Arkansas, CityServe Arkansas, and you would imagine some of the rural areas in Arkansas, how hard they've been hit. And they're doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, Steve, you asked earlier, you know, what's going to take place? What's next? You know, when we look at that from the government, is this going to continue? And I think for us, looking at the state of Arkansas, 23% of our children prior to COVID were already hitting food insecurity. And so I think what this program and the pandemic has shown is such a great need. And that need is going to continue with pandemic or without pandemic. And so I'm looking ahead and saying, okay, how can we continue to do the things that we've been doing during the pandemic season and helping all these people? And so that's part of the strategy as we move forward is how do we continue to be the church, to be that group, that network that's helping all these people in need.
And anytime we help the poor, God moves into this multitasking mode. And there's so many collateral benefits, as we just shared, you know, about the ministry to people in their cars. But the unity that is occurring between not just churches, but the business sector and local government agencies. And it reminds me when I first flew over Ireland, and I looked down, and I saw these stone walls that separated neighbor from neighbor. And then years later, flew over the same area. And you couldn't see the walls because the harvest, the crop was high. And that's what we're seeing. For some, it's just focusing on the need together that's bringing unity. For others, we're seeing a harvest of souls, people that are lost, that are hurting. And this is our moment to find a true lasting hope in Jesus Christ.
How could a church get involved? Because like, Darren, your church is huge. You know, it's got all kinds of systems and people and programs. And undoubtedly, you know, I know your church well enough to know that you've been doing a lot of this for a long time. But what about most churches are actually small, which means that they don't have a lot of infrastructure. They don't have a lot of volunteers. So how would people get involved if they heard about this and said, you know, we've got needs in our area and we'd like to plug in to what CityServe is doing through Farmers to Families?
You know, for us, when we look back the past year during the pandemic, we have not just been the only church. And so when you think about the church, we've trained over 188 churches already just within a year. Hopefully resourcing them and encouraging them and training them, because we know a lot of churches average 80 people in a church. So when you look at the infrastructure, it's not necessarily there. When you look at the budget, it's not necessarily there. And so that's one of the cool things what CityServe has done is we have championed the smaller church. We have championed those that still have the same compassion that we all have, but we've championed them in such a way that we said, hey, we're going to stand by you. We're going to train. But we're going to encourage you as well, and we're going to equip and empower you to go be the church in your local community. And so when you talk about a church wanting to know what do, the first step for us is simply they just contact us. And once they contact us, we bring them through some type of training there. And then from there, we make them, again, a champion in their own community. And so it's not just a large church. It's all the churches working together in unison, which I believe for us is really championing the entire state.
And I know that you're trans-denominational, but Are you working with a lot of different groups, or does it tend to be mostly in the Pentecostal and evangelical segment?
Well, you take Southern California, Wendell. I mean, it's unbelievable. Hundreds of churches, you know, coming together.
Thousands of churches actually coming together, serving cross-denominationally every stream. To your question about church size, this is what I love about compassion, Steve. Compassion's scalable. Jesus said, just a cup of cool water, given my name, matters. And we like to say that to pastors who, one of the biggest lies of the enemy is to cause somebody to feel, be so marginalized by virtue of feeling like I can't really make a big difference. It's scalable. Start where you are with what you have, and God will honor that and bless that.
Boy, that's
and
wealthy.
So we want to engage every church, regardless of size, because everything matters.
Well, that's very, very well said. And I want people to know how to get hold of you. And so I need one of you to tell me an address or a website or something. And you need to write this down. I'll tell my listeners. And the nice thing about a podcast is you can stop and back it up if you don't get it the first time around. So tell us how people, what people need to do to get involved and to find out more about CityServe.
Thank you, Steve. They can go to our website, cityserve.us. Again, that's cityserve.us. And you and I had talked when you mentioned your church is involved that we're launching what we call the Last Mile of Need campaign, where you can participate as a volunteer, but perhaps even give, you know, financially, because we are needing to subsidize this program to help with transportation, refrigeration, because these are perishables. And so we are in the process of also raising funds to offset the cost, to make sure that these boxes, you know, are getting to families in need. And then, as we mentioned, that there's really a great thing happening beyond the box, we call it.
Boy, that's exciting. So I want to give each of you the last word, although I guess the first two don't actually get the last word, do they? But we need to wrap up this podcast because of the time. But, this we could talk for hours about this. There's such a need, and I'd love to hear more stories. Maybe we can do another podcast later. But my motivation is to try to help get the word out, to get more people involved, either giving or being involved in some way, get more churches involved. And, you know, I just respect so much what you're doing because, you know, there's a lot that happens in the church that is criticized, and some of it is justifiably so. But, you know, this is what Jesus said to do. If you do it to the least of these, you're doing it unto him. And it's really what the church is all about. And at one time, the church took care of the poor. Now it's kind of the government taking care of the poor and involving the church, at least in this instance. So, Darren, why don't we start with you and just any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think the trajectory that we're going is what you just said. It used to be where the church actually was that center point of a community, and that's where the community was taken care of, and then that flipped. And we see the government got involved with that. But I think with CityServe, what we're seeing more and more is we're bringing that church, we're bringing Christ to the center of that community that is accessible for all people. No matter where they are, no matter where they're at, the church is now becoming a place of hope that we can see people being reached, especially in their need.
I think, you know, there's a message that is so clear right now. John 4, Jesus says to the disciples, what do you say that it's 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, the harvest is ready right now. It's white and ready right now. And the white harvest is hurting people. I'm convinced that it's hurting people. They're the people that aren't going to just walk in the doors of our church because we have an overly produced, highly attractional model of a church. They're people that are hurting out there and broken. And the church has an opportunity to go after that harvest. It's ready right now. Right now is harvest time. Not 4 months from now, today is harvest time. We need to get out of our churches, get out in our communities, be the people of God, be the hands and feet of Jesus.
And Dave,
as
you get the last word.
Thank you, Steve. Well, as we look back through the rearview mirror of this pandemic, I just hope that we don't look back and say that I watched a lot of good movies on Netflix and watched a lot of sports games, and that's it. If we do that, we will miss out on the greatest opportunity in our lifetime, perhaps in history, to share the good news in both word and deed. If God can get it through you, he'll give it to you. You get involved and he'll bless all the works of your hands.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for, first of all, for what you're doing. This is such a blessing to so many people, to millions of people have been helped. And you're such a good example for others, and I just appreciate you fitting this podcast into a busy schedule while you're here in Central Florida, and hope people will follow up, as we described earlier, and contact your ministry and get involved somehow. And share this podcast, either the newsletter that I send out or the article we do on Charisma News, or if you're just on the Charisma Podcast Network, you can share it. It's how the podcast grows and how we get the word out. It isn't just publicity or anything like that. It's when people connect. And if this resonated with you, if you know people that would be interested, share this with others. And as you do, the podcast continues to grow. As I've shared recently, we just passed 8 million downloads on the Strang Report. And then tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.